people know your why. If they can get your why, then it can really kind of give them a sense of, okay, yeah, this is I'm in the right place.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Robert Tye. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Robert. One, he was a ghostwriter, he worked as a ghostwriter on the life story of a Scottish-Australian entrepreneur, just imagine that accent, who made his millions in pet food and invested some of his money in building a world-class racetrack in New Zealand. Two, Robert, for 5 years, he was the editor of the New Zealand issue of the Red Bulletin. And you might know that that's a magazine published by Red Bull that celebrated extreme athletes and high achievers. And three, Robert is a bit of a high achiever himself, extreme athlete. When he's not writing or helping business leaders tell better stories, he's a running fool who likes to escape to the mountains and forests of New Zealand to run long-distance trail events. Robert Tye, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you very much, George, for that wonderful introduction. And lovely to meet you.
Delighted to meet you. Reaching out to New Zealand, just thinking about, I'm thinking about walking through those mountain trails, not so much running anymore for me. Robert, you talk about, you help people with their origin story. And I guess we're probably not going to go back to the origin of the species story, but each person has an origin. Why is it important? Why do you believe it's important that a person have an origin story to tell, to convey?
I think it's all about just being really, I suppose, confident in who you are as a person, where you've come from, and I suppose that that ultimate the benefit of the origin story is why you do what you do. I know Simon Sinek made a great career out of, you know, a simple diagram that talked about the importance of the why, and that's essentially what the origin story helps people, I suppose, analyze themselves. You know, how the hell did I end up here doing what I'm doing, and why is it important to me? Because I'm convinced that we all have, you know, stories in our past. We have key turning points along the way, along our life journey and our career journey, that will really, I suppose, help make sense of what we do and why we do it. And that's essentially what the origin story is all about. It's really helping people reflect on their past to get a better understanding of who they are, with a view to creating, I think, a more purposeful future that really, you know, captures their passion for what they do.
And so you're suggesting that if people look at their past, they'll understand their future better? Or are you saying if they look at their past, they'll think, well, I don't want to do that again, better change?
Well, either or. Yeah, that's a really good point, George. Absolutely, either or. I think certainly for me, the process that I went through in kind of, you know, stumbling across this origin story process, it really helped reinforce the fact that I loved what I did. I loved being a journalist. I loved interviewing extreme athletes, as you mentioned, with Red Bull. I loved kind of unpicking their story and finding out, well, how the hell did you end up doing quadruple backflips on a BMX, and why do you get such a buzz out of it, you know? And working with that entrepreneur we mentioned in the introduction, a guy called Tony Quinn, who, you know, built a racetrack in the middle of nowhere. You know, what motivated you to do that? And I ended up writing Tony's life story, ended up writing his book. And that was really the impetus for the origin story process that I do now with business leaders, because I figured that if I could write a book for an entrepreneur, then I could do a distilled version that did kind of the same job. It was almost like, reflecting on your life to just get more clarity on it, And as you say, that can lead two ways, right? I mean, life is all about decisions and turning points. With the origin story process, you may go through it and you realize, well, I'm exactly where I want to be. I'm exactly where I need to be in my life. And for my next trick, for my next 5 or 10 years, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going in the right direction. Or, as you said, it may be a real wake-up call for some people to go, actually, I've veered right off course here. Maybe I'm not doing what I'm meant to be doing. So yeah, that's a really good point that you make. It can go either way, right?
Robert, you brought up Simon Sinek and the power of why. I'm wondering, how important is why in discerning one's origin story?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think it's really key because I think the best businesses have a really authentic why behind, what they do. And listen, I know there'll be some skeptics out there who feel that, I sell widgets and I make really good widgets and I sell them for a lot of money and I don't really care about my why. And that's fine too. I totally understand that perspective. But I think more so now than ever before, we're all in the people business. We're all kind of that it's that horrible cliche, people buy from people. But if they don't know about you as a person, then it's really hard for them to trust you. It's really hard for them to get a sense of why you or your company or your product or your service is the right person to help them solve their problem. And I think if you can demonstrate an authentic why, and the origin story isn't about making up a story here. I think that it's probably good to get that across. But if you can get across your why in a very real and authentic manner, I think it just really helps you stand out from the crowd of other people in your space, in your industry, in your sector, whatever it might be. And it's particularly important, I should add, George, if you're in any kind of business where you're selling your expertise, right? Where you're in that kind of people-to-people type business, because if people know your why, if they can get your why, then it can really kind of give them a sense of, okay, yeah, this is I'm in the right place here. This is the right person to help me solve my problem.
And I'm guessing that the, even though you're calling it the origin story, it's more of a journey story.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, it is. It's about identifying those kind of key moments, not only in the very early days in your origin, as you put it, the origins of your kind of where you come from, etc. But it's also about the stories that change you. It's about the key decisions you make along the way. I think we've all, some of us go through it at different stages of our lives, but our 20s and our 30s are generally times when we kind of decide on our career path, right? And that's, can be quite often a monumental decision. If I turn left, I go down this road. If I turn right, I go down another road. So I think, I call it origin stories, but as you say, it's all about the journey that we make to get to where we are now. I describe three kind of different stages I use to help people kind of really hone in on the stories that they need to tell, because it can be quite hard, I think, to put somebody on the spot and go, tell me a story about innovation, or tell me a story about a time when you were creative. And people go, oh, I don't know. The three stages that I kind of point people to are the stories that shape you, the stories that change you, and the stories that define you. Now, the stories that shape you are those early years in your life, from when you were born up to maybe the age of 18, when so much important stuff happens. It might be a story about where you're from or what your parents did for a living or your first mentor or leader or, your first job may be a pointer to, what you do now for some people. Some people discover really early on what they're passionate about, right? And a lot of us don't. But those early years, the stories that shape you, I think are a really good starting point to unpack some of what motivates you. The second stage, the stories that change you. Again, I've touched on that already. It's that kind of time in your 20s and your 30s when you have to make some really kind of big decisions about, you know, how you're going to earn a living and how you're going to, you know, how you're going to get by, I suppose. And then the third stage is, I suppose, really hones in on what you do now and the stories that define you as a leader or as, you know, what in terms of the role and the job you do. What are the stories in your career that really, I suppose, exemplify who you are and what you're all about? So by doing that, it just makes it easier for people to really hone in on three or four key stories that they can unpack and really dig deep into.
And how might people use those stories as part of their own personal growth, their career development, their business growth? Where do they fit in?
Yeah, I mean, as somebody who works in presentation space, George, obviously, I think I hope you will agree that, you know, people who use stories in presentations, you know, usually are much more effective at connecting with their audience. So that's an obvious starting point. You know, if you've got two or three stories that really have an emotional meaning for you, but also more importantly, relate back to what you do now. I think that's the key. Story selection is one of the most important parts of this process. That, you know, you've got to try and identify stories that in some shape or form relate back to what you do now. And so, yeah, a presentation is just an ideal place to drop in one or two stories. You know, a story at the start is a great way to make the audience relax and kind of lean in and go, okay, what's next? You know, what is this guy going to talk about next? Obviously, then in the world of social media and website presence and all of that, your about page or your bio on LinkedIn, for example, or whatever other social media websites you use, that's a great place to share your stories. As I said, it might be in the form of a bio. It might be in the short of posts that kind of, again, you're telling a story to people, and that's much more effective and a much more meaningful way to grab people's attention than maybe just relying on jargon or data or whatever it might be. So there's that. That's another way of using your stories. They can be used to explain your elevator pitch in a much more kind of succinct way and a much more kind of meaningful way. I think a lot of us, when we're asked that question, so what do you do? We resort to using our job title, or we'll, you know, our answer will, you know, usually be different every time. But I think by getting clear on your origin story and why you do what you do and who you help, you can develop a really strong elevator pitch by kind of unpacking your story.
Okay, Robert, so you've got us in suspense. What's your story? What's your elevator pitch? What do you do?
I help business leaders reflect on their past to create a more purposeful future. That's my tagline at the moment. That's how I describe what I do. Essentially, though, what I've done for, you know, I worked as a journalist for 20 years, and it's in the last kind of 4 or 5 years that I've started working with entrepreneurs and business people. Essentially, kind of what I've been passionate about for the last, you know, 20 years has been telling better stories. I absolutely love, you know, for me, it's a privilege. It was a privilege as a journalist to sit down with, you know, elite athletes and successful, you know, I used to talk to musicians and artists and entrepreneurs. And it's such a privilege to sit down from, you know, across from somebody and have the license to ask them questions about how did you end up here? You know, what is the journey you've been on? And then to translate that into a story to, you know, hopefully inspire other people or give people, you know, some clues as to, you know, how the most successful people achieve what they achieve. So yeah, my origin story, it goes way back. I mean, as a young fella growing up in Ireland, I was obsessed with sport. I loved reading about, you know, the players that I watched on TV. You know, I wanted to know who they were and where they came from. And so from an early age, I was kind of steeped in stories and had this kind of obsession with finding out about people and what made them tick. And that's essentially what I still do to this day, George.
It's ironic because I believe the Irish are known to be great storytellers.
And it's kind of ironic. I'm not the best storyteller in my family. My wife is a much better storyteller than I am. I don't know if you're familiar with that feeling when your other half maybe interrupts your story and finishes it for you. I've definitely got my wife is really good at doing that. But I think what I am good at doing and what I've picked up from my Irish roots is the ability to find stories. I prefer to think of myself almost as a story finder rather than a storyteller. And again, that comes from, an early age being obsessed with sport and also with books and reading and newspapers. My family was, my dad in particular was an avid newspaper buyer. I mean, we used to get a daily paper. We used to get a local paper on a Wednesday, a regional paper on a Thursday. We used to get three Sunday newspapers. I vividly remember dad coming home with the Sunday newspapers. And this was back in the day when newspapers were, door stoppers. There was a lot of reading in them. Yeah, I mean, I just grew up reading newspapers and gravitated towards the profiles and the feature interviews with successful people. And I've carried that through, I think, throughout my kind of journalism career and now working with business leaders.
You mentioned a term that you're more of a story finder than a storyteller. What questions do you pose to people to help them find their best stories?
I don't know if I have like a template of questions that I ask. It is very much a conversation, and it is very much, as I've talked before, about really making it easy for them by asking them to go back to, a few different stages in their lives, to take them back to their earliest memories. One question that I love to ask people is, what is your earliest understanding our kind of realization of the concept of what you do now? So it might have been, say the industry you're in now, or if you're in sales, what was your very first understanding of what selling was? What was your first understanding of, say, what a customer was? I worked with a customer experience consultant recently who, he talked to me about what he did, but he spent 20 minutes talking in jargon about UX and CX and all these terms and acronyms, and that meant nothing to me. But when I stopped and asked him to think back to his very first understanding of what a customer was and what a customer meant, he told me about his first job working as a paper boy, doing a paper round. And he realized very quickly that if he didn't get out of bed on time, the papers didn't get delivered on time, the customer wasn't happy, and his boss wasn't happy, and he didn't get paid. So he immediately kind of grasped that the customer was key. From a very early age in his very first job, he realized that, keeping the customer satisfied was the most important part of his job. And I just said, listen, that's it. You've nailed it. You're working in customer experience now, and essentially that is still the same kind of thing that you need to focus on, right? So in terms of questions, I think rather than questions, it really is helping people identify stories that maybe they don't recognize the value in themselves. Because I think a lot of the time we're too close to our own stories, right? We've lived with them for so long, and we kind of discount the value in them. So I think that's a key part of the process, George, is helping people identify the value in their stories.
How useful are the painful stories or the stories that are the result of pain?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, vulnerability is a real buzzword at the moment, right? And yes, it has its place. I tell people that you don't need to share all the skeletons in your closet, right? I kind of believe that sympathy should not be a storytelling tactic or a tool, right? I think if it's relevant and you can relate it back to what you do now, then absolutely use that story, that painful story, if you're comfortable with it. And again, it's a very personal thing. I think some people are much more comfortable with sharing personal stories than others. But I think there's a real maybe danger of oversharing sometimes. So I think just listen to your gut on that one. If you've got a painful story that you learned a really, really valuable lesson from and that has had a major impact on your career, then absolutely go for it. But as I said, it's a real personal thing. And I never kind of force people to say, hey, let's go with that story, because it's just gonna, you know, it's gonna get sympathy and it's gonna really go viral. It's gonna attract a lot of likes and comments and stuff. I don't believe in that. I think you've got to be authentic to yourself and you've got to be true to yourself.
Robert, when you help people find and develop and convey their stories, do you find that, and maybe it's not an either or, but yeah, do you find that it's more about their own personal understanding of themselves, or is it for them to help them convey their message to other people?
Yeah, again, really good question, George. And again, I think it's a bit of both, right? You know, there's definitely a sense with the people that I work with. When I started doing this, I originally kind of perceived it as a content marketing kind of exercise for people to, you know, get stories out of their head and to use those stories to create content to connect with people. And it can do that, but it's also kind of evolved and developed into a personal development type tool for leaders to use as part of their toolkit. I've facilitated workshops for groups of leaders where I encourage them to share stories with each other about their own journey to leadership roles, and the comments that come back are that they never realized how much they had in common with everybody else on their leadership team, because so often it's really hard to get past the professional mask that we all wear, right? But by sharing sharing stories with each other of the journey we've been on, they found out they had so much in common, and that's a really powerful thing. And then outside of the leadership group, then they can also use those stories to connect more with their team. If they can tell their team a story about when they were starting out in the career, when they were struggling with what their team might be struggling now, it's a much more effective way of connecting with them, right? But yeah, it's also the process is I've had some people describe it as cathartic, that sense of, wow, that's a relief to get that out of my head, because, so many of us are so busy and we've got we've got the blinkers on and we're just, full tilt kind of working on our career and trying to get ahead, that we actually don't take time to reflect on our past. And so that's one of the most kind of, I suppose, meaningful things for me about the process, George, is the fact that people get that kind of sense of, wow, it's great to get that out of my head.
And I can see the value in stories as in team building, yeah, especially when the leader reveals stories about themselves so that the team can better understand the person and see how, he's not that different from me after all. They went through some of the same issues that I'm having now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a really good point. I think we make the mistake of thinking that, people don't want to hear our stories, but just stories are so powerful, and if for exactly that reason, that we can identify ourselves in them. I mean, there's a big trend, it's probably a mantra in marketing, that the customer should always be the hero of, your story, right? And I get that, that there's a lot of value to that, but my point is that if every company in your sector or industry is following that rule, if every sector is kind of going, hey, I see your pain, I get your problem, if we're holding up a mirror to their pain, then how do they distinguish, one company from the other, right? For me, that holding up the mirror to the customer is a really powerful tool, but I also think you need to shine the spotlight on yourself as well and go, hey, yeah, this is me, this is who I am, and this is the journey that I've been on, and this is how it relates to what I do. So yeah, the spotlight and the mirror approach, I think, are really important.
And it's funny when you mention that, I recall when I was in my 30s, going through a job interview, and I didn't realize I was doing it. Partway through the interview, one of the people that was interviewing me says, oh, well, I can see you like telling stories. And I looked up and I went, oh, really? I do? Oh, I guess I do.
Yeah.
Where
did that come from? Where did that come from, George, do you think?
Where did my storytelling come from?
Yeah.
Where do you think? Well, I've always liked stories. I've always been a reader. Yeah. And yes, and I started reading a newspaper when I was before I was a teenager, when I was, I don't know, 11 or 12, I remember in the morning getting up and then read the newspaper. And I didn't read every page, but I liked reading it. And when and I loved going to the library. And I just enjoyed the stories. And they were just pure enjoyment.
Yeah.
And it's funny that later that I then used that to explain things to other people by finding a story.
Yeah. The name of your podcast, Your Intended Message. I'm intrigued by that as well. I mean, do you find that a lot of people are unintentional in the way they communicate, or don't realize how they're communicating or how their message is being perceived?
And I'm glad you point that out, because yes, and that's how I ended up with the name, because I help people convey the intended message, because yeah. Often there are unintended messages that they're sending that get in the way.
Yeah.
And they're not even aware. They're not even aware of what messages they're really sending.
Yeah, I mean, I tell people that you can't control what other people say about you, but you can control the message that you're putting out there. And that's really, really important, I think, that, you know, by putting out stories, you're really giving people a much clearer picture of who you are. Otherwise, they're creating stories in their own head about who you are and why you're in the business you're in, right? So by painting a picture for them, yeah, absolutely. It makes it much clearer what you're about.
Robert, you talked about stories from your early years, from your 20s. And I noticed that in your 20s, you did some backpacking around Australia. You worked on a fishing trawler. You must have some tremendous stories from that experience.
Well, it's funny. My 20s, I describe my 20s as my lost years. I had some great times. I went to Australia for a year and I did some, you know, crazy jobs. I worked on a prawn trawler, as you said. I picked tomatoes. I picked bananas. I did all sorts of things. But in my 20s, I was searching for what I wanted to do with my life. As a teenager, set my sights on becoming a journalist. But I lost sight of that when I went to university. I got distracted by cigarettes and alcohol and partying. And I came to associate writing with exams and stuff like that. And I kind of got, you know, put off or distracted by the idea of being a writer. So I spent my 20s really searching. I worked in recruitment. I worked in sales. I worked in advertising for a while, did lots of different jobs. And it was only in my late 20s that I finally had the courage and the guts to go, no, I did exactly what I do with clients now. I reflected on what I was interested in as a teenager. And I kind of remembered my dreams of being a journalist. And so I quit a job as a recruitment consultant. And I started at the very beginning. I started with my local newspaper as a sports reporter. And I'm so glad I did that. It was such a major turning point for me. You know, if I hadn't made that decision and it was a tough, tough decision. I was in my late 20s and it wasn't easy, but it was a decision that kind of changed everything after that. There was kind of, I consider the before and after of kind of that decision. And so it's really powerful taking time to reflect on what am I passionate about? What do I really want to do?
And Robert, if people are interested to learn more about your service to help them with their origin stories, the best way for them to find you is at your website. And the website is?
Yeah, it's roberttighe.com. So Tighe spelled T-I-G-H-E. So roberttighe.com. But yeah, I've also got a worksheet that I'm happy to send you a link to, George, that if you want to share with listeners, that will take them through, as I said, just an introduction to those three different stages, the stories that shape you, the stories that change you, and the stories that define you. If people want to have a look at that worksheet and they get started on telling their origin story, I'm more than happy for them to reach out to me as well and ask me any questions about the process, because as I say, I'm just really, I feel it's a real privilege to help people unpack their origin story and I'd love to help.
You can find those links in the description below, both to Robert's site at roberttighe.com, and Tighe is T-I-G-H-E. If you didn't know how to say it right, you would probably say Tighe, Tighe.com. And you can also find the link to the worksheet to help you get started with your your origin story. Robert, if you could give one, two, or three pieces of advice to a business leader to help them and to encourage them to tell their stories more often, more effectively, what might that be?
I think they've just got to get over the fear factor is probably the main thing. I think most of us are really afraid of sharing personal stories. We're afraid of what people might think. But I think you'll be amazed at the reaction you get if you do start sharing personal stories. That's the first piece of advice. The second piece of advice is it doesn't have to be an epic story. It doesn't have to be a hero's journey. There's a lot of frameworks out there around storytelling that I think overcomplicate it. As I said, take time to reflect on the stories that have had the most impact on your career and start telling those. And again, as I said, I think you'll be amazed at the reaction you get. And finally, I think don't stress if the stories don't come immediately. I think by opening yourself to the awareness of kind of the power of stories, you'll find them popping into your head at random times. You'll remember a moment from your teenage years or your 20s, or something will pop into your head, and just be ready to grab them when they do pop into your head, because there's real power in stories and there's real power in our origin stories.
Mm-hmm. Robert, that raises an interesting question. Do you suggest that people keep a story journal?
Yeah, I'd like to say that I'm diligent about keeping a story journal. I do try. I do a daily journaling practice, and I've started to do a daily journaling practice where I jot down any stories that spring to mind. It's helpful. If you're that type of person, have a notebook beside your bed and jot down stories during the day. There's a great book by a guy called Matthew Dix, I think his name is, and it's called Storyworthy. Now, he's an award-winning storyteller. So he's not business storytelling as such. He enters competitions like The Moth. There's a website called The Moth. I don't know if you've come across it, which is basically storytelling and a platform for people to share stories from their lives. And this guy has won multiple awards for his storytelling. And he absolutely recommends that every day, at the end of the day, you write a few notes about something you heard that day, or a story that springs to mind, or a story that popped into your head. And I think if you do that, you'll be amazed. I mean, people tell me all the time, I don't have any stories to tell. But by opening yourself to, giving yourself time to reflect, first of all, and then becoming aware of stories as they pop into your head, I think you'll build up a library really, really quickly and be amazed at the benefits that storytelling can have on you as a leader.
My guest today is Robert Tighe, reminding you to find your stories and share your stories.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.